Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And this is your host, Allison, and thank you for joining me this evening. It's great to have you here in the listening audience. My guest tonight is Alan Cohen, and he is the author of 22 popular inspirational books and CDs, including the best-selling The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore, the award-winning A Deep Breath of Life, and the classic, Are You As Happy As Your Dog? He is a contributing writer for the New York Times number one best-selling series, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and his books have been translated into 24 foreign languages. His work has been featured on Oprah.com and in USA Today, The Washington Post, and 101 Top Experts. Alan's radio program, Get Real, is broadcast weekly on Hay House Radio, and his monthly column, From the Heart, is featured in magazines internationally. Alan is a respected keynoter and seminar leader for his professional meetings in the fields of personal growth, inspiration, holistic health, human relations, and achievement of work-life balance. He conducts life mastery trainings around the world and is the founder of All About You, a university without walls dedicated to higher learning for the higher self. Alan is a faculty member of the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies and appears regularly on national radio and television, including Fox, CNN, CNBC, and the many good morning shows around the nation. His seminars have regularly been broadcast via satellite on the Wisdom Channel. That is quite a resume. And let me tell you, I am very delighted and very happy to welcome Alan Cohen to the show. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Hi, Allison. Lovely to be with you. Thank you.
I understand. Do you live in Hawaii?
Yes, I live in beautiful Maui. Somebody has to do it.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering if you were interested in adopting me.
Yes, we have a guest room for all my radio hosts.
Wonderful. I'll be all over. Yeah, because that's always been a dream of mine to live in Hawaii. So that must be wonderful to live in paradise then, right?
Well, I find it's very inspiring. You know, as a writer and teacher and healer, I get a lot of my juice from nature. So I kind of charge myself up here, and then I have something to pass along to my clients.
Well, yeah. Well, that's really wonderful. I do want to mention, because you don't usually make it all the way to the East Coast, and you are actually going to be holding a seminar for Susan Duvall in the Philadelphia area. And I myself have done several seminars for Susan, and she is absolutely wonderful. I don't know if you've met her, but you're going to love her.
Yes, I know her a little bit, but I'm looking forward to spending more time with her.
She's delightful. And this seminar is June 2nd from 7 to 9:30 p.m. And if anyone's interested, well, let's say you live in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, you know, it's not that often that Alan gets this way. So you might want to check out the seminar, and you can find that information on SusanDuvallSeminars.com. And even if you go to my homepage on BBS Radio, and if you just scroll down to my links, you'll see a banner for Susan Duvall, and you could just click, and it'll take you right to her website. And certainly all the information is there. So what do you, I know that you speak on a diversity of subjects. And so what is the focus of the workshop that you're doing for Susan?
Well, the workshop is called Keep the Change. I'll be co-presenting with my wonderful, very popular musician friend, Karen Drecker, who a lot of people know. And we're going to be talking about the power of moving forward with the changes that are occurring in and around us. And as you well know, and your audience well knows, Allison, there are lots of people going through financial changes, career changes, health changes, living changes, relationship changes. And so there really is an art to moving with that energy instead of fearing it or resisting it. So we're going to help people to capitalize on the changes in their life and make them work on their behalf instead of falling down under. And we'll have a lot of fun and actually be quite productive and very practical.
Well, wonderful. I know that even in my own practice that a lot of people, you know, are in, they like to call it crisis, but I think change is just closing a door to open a new one. And I think sometimes we are not always aware of, you know, having the right perspective when these things happen. You know, in order to move forward, you've got to let some things go. But I know that a lot of people that I'm talking to are just in the middle of what appears to be deep crisis. And so I think this is a very timely seminar, actually.
Well, a lot of people know that the ancient Chinese written character for the word crisis is a combination of two other written characters. One is danger, and one is opportunity. So yes, there's a danger in what's happening economically, but there's also a huge opportunity, and I've been working with more and more people who are saying that this actually is turning out to be one of the best times of their life, and they've been motivated to go deeper into the sense of prosperity and trust and connection with higher power. So there really is a way to work what's going on so you end up winning instead of losing.
Sure, I absolutely agree. Let me ask you something because, you know, obviously, you know, when I was doing research about you, I certainly could see this tremendous life of accomplishment and certainly, you know, very respected author and public speaker. But my question is, I mean, like, how did you get to be you? I mean, what was your journey? What did you have to go through in life in order to get to this great place of wisdom that you are now?
Well, that's really a great question. Thank you for asking. You know, like everyone, I've had my trials and my ups and downs. When I was a young man, I was in college, and I was really in my head and playing games, and I was kind of lost, actually. And then I found what some people call the spiritual path, and I studied with Ram Dass and a marvelous teacher in New York named Hilda Charlton. And what they taught me was that, you know, there really is more to life than the senses would show us, and there's more to life than the ego would show us or surface things. And so I became very, very hungry for anything that had to do with spiritual fulfillment. I spent about 10 years studying with every guru I could find and going to every possible seminar, and I had some winners and losers and wild experiences. And then in 1981, I woke up one morning and this voice said, sit down and write. And I said, I don't want to write. I don't like to write. And the voice said that wasn't one of the questions. And so I forced myself to sit down, and I thought I was writing some notes for a yoga class I was teaching. But this information started coming fast and furious, and it was just as if I was trying to keep up with the key, you know, with keep the typewriter keys up with my ideas. And eventually, like 6 or 9 months later, I had this book in my hand called The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And I self-published it just for fun. And it caught on. It became a bestseller. And before long, I was flying around the world teaching and working with people. So I feel in a certain way that I had a destiny in the sense that I was really hungry for spirituality and my soul was ripe. And I also felt like I had done a lot of homework that kind of prepared me for it. So it was a combination of action and destiny. That's just kind of a nutshell, but those were some of my big turning points.
Well, I guess so. I mean, not very many people self-publish and end up being a bestseller, so that is destiny speaking right there of what you were born to be. Were you a wise child, or were you just a child that questioned reality or questioned truth?
Well, you know, you're asking really good questions because I've always had kind of two lives, one where my human life where I kind of bumped along and struggled with relationships and got upset and got screwed up and, you know, took drugs. And I kind of did a lot of stuff a lot of people do. But behind that, it seems, and you're a numerologist, you probably understand this more than I do, it seems as if there was a pattern of my soul's evolution that I had chosen. And I look back and I see that even as a young child, I had tremendous wisdom and tremendous stupidity simultaneously. And it's as if part of my life's purpose has been to pull away the layers of ignorance and fear and illusion, and so I can release that wise being within me, and it's come forth more and more. And I think we all have that inner wisdom. I think everyone is born a genius, but we get de-geniused by being educated into facts rather than truth. And so a lot of the spiritual path for me and others, I believe, is pulling away that which is not us, so we can reveal the real us, which is who God created us to be.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons why I am a numerologist, and one of the reasons why I love it is because it really shines light upon our authentic selves, the person that we came in to be, minus all the theatrics and everything that everyone
right.
tells us to be or suggests we should be or tells us the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do. It really shines light upon our authentic self. You know,
right.
and I think that when we're children, we're much more authentic before we start getting messed up. And basically, we're trying to fit in. We're trying to be loved. We're trying to figure out this thing called society. And we're listening to our parents, our teachers, our mentors, our friends. And then somewhere along the way, we lose who we are. And that's what I love about numerology in the sense that it really pulls you right back and shines a light on your true soul and truly who you are authentically. So, and that's why I ask, because someone from, you know, I read a great deal of, you know, many of your quotes and a lot of your work. There's just an innate wisdom that comes through, a knowingness, almost like being enlightened and being able to see beyond the veil. And I tend to think of the veil as being reality, you know, of what we all perceive. This is what it is, but it isn't what it is. There's a whole entirely different story behind all of that. A much deeper and wiser one, and I see that in you through, you know, what I read, and that's why I asked you that question, because I'm really feeling the seven with you, if you really want to know the one.
Okay.
It's an energy, and it's kind of like being born wise and also seeking the truth in all things.
Well, I think that each of us live two lives simultaneously, the life we present to the world and the life of who we are on the inside, and I think that the level of pain or amount of discomfort in our life is due to the gap between who we really are and how we're living.
Sure.
And so I have a very simple definition of integrity, and integrity is bringing the life you're living on the outside into harmony with who you are on the inside. And I think
sure.
the more I've had the courage to be myself without fearing what people think of me, the happier I am, and actually the more successful I am. So I guess if we have a message for your listeners tonight, it's be what you are. Trust that what you are is good enough without having to stand on your head or do dances to prove yourself to others. And I'm sure that's how you counsel people in your numerology sessions. Would you say so?
Well, I always have a saying that you might as well be yourself because everybody else is taken. So be who you are.
That's very good. I like that.
That's my saying. And you know, one of the things that I thought was really fascinating was being able to correlate a lot of the greatest teachers out there and correlate their works, which didn't come from the basis of numerology, but certainly came from their experience. And I think Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements, really kind of drove it home to me about how we make agreements with people throughout our lives that their definition of who we are is who we are, or what they tell us we should be, or, you know, as I said, in the trying to fit in somewhere along the line, we get lost, and we have to break those agreements. We have to find our authentic self. And when you follow who you are, it's kind of like following your bliss, following your joy, because you become joyful in living by being exactly who you are. And no excuses, you know, no apologies, just vibrating to it. I always say rock your energy. That's what I say. You know, be the best that you can be. It doesn't necessarily mean what's right for someone else. You have to do what's right for you. So, yeah. I looked at a lot of wonderful quotes. Really fantastic quotes that came directly from you. One of the questions I do want to ask you is you often are quoted. I mean, you know, and I know that I actually heard someone say one of your books, and I believe it was The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore, that on a daily basis they quote from that book or they read from that book and that inspires them throughout the day. So my question for you is, who inspires you? I mean, where do you get your inspiration from?
Well, these days my five dogs. I had a dog before these, and I wrote a book about him called "Are You as Happy as Your Dog?"
Because
I heard a fellow say, "Every day I just pray to wake up. I pray to God to let me wake up as happy as my dog." So I followed my dog around for a year, and I studied what he knew that I didn't, and I realized that he was way ahead of the game. But we have two parents and three puppies, and they are currently teachers of joy. They jump in our bed in the morning and kiss us and play with us, and you know, there's just something about the innocence of a dog that's very godlike. So that's on animal level. I go in nature a lot. I meditate in nature. I go to the beach. I go to the forest. I go to the waterfalls. And God really speaks to me through the simplicity of nature.
Sure.
I'm a student of A Course in Miracles, which has helped me for almost 30 years now. It's a long time. I study with Abraham Hicks, Ram Dass, yep. Patricia Sun, you know, elements of the great world religions, and common people I meet on the street. My new gurus are van drivers and waitresses and chambermaids who just are happy with their lives and in service and diligent about their work. So, you know, I think that Great Spirit speaks to me through many people and avenues, and, you know, there's no place vacant of Great Spirit once your eyes are open.
Sure. You know, do you think, and I'm going to ask you this, because sometimes I think someone such as yourself, and I think there's a big difference between being spiritual and being enlightened. I really do, because being enlightened, it's a bell that can't be unrung, and it is a way of being, like breathing, and it is a place of unconditional love, no judgment, acceptance, and I really believe a place of pure joy. However, I think living in this world, sometimes it is difficult to be, to see, I think, others and realizing that they could be so much happier if they just knew what you knew. Or sometimes in a level, you know, seeing what goes on in the world, it brings such an incredible sadness to you. I mean, I know it does to me. And I think that sometimes it's very difficult to unring the bell, but yet you're living in a world that hasn't quite caught up with you, and sometimes there's the sadness. Do you ever feel that?
Well, on a daily basis, I see people in pain, I see people suffering, I see people hurting each other. To me, that's the saddest thing of all, you know, when a human being hurts another human being. It's just unnecessary. So I'm a very compassionate person and a deeply feeling person, and I cry in movies and, you know, so I do really feel the pain of the world a great deal, and I often wonder why there's pain at all. You know, why did God create a universe where people suffer? So I'm with you on that. At the same time, I've realized over a long time with practice that I cannot afford to get caught in the suffering of the world, otherwise I start suffering too, and then we have one more person that's suffering. So
right.
I have trained myself and learned over many years that it's my absolute responsibility to stay at peace as much as possible and to stay in a joy vibration. And, of course, I don't always succeed, but a lot I do.
Right.
And,
well, I think,
and when I'm aligned with happiness and aligned with Great Spirit, I have creativity and I have something to give from overflow. I'm not just trying to fill a black hole. And because I'm aligned with peace in a given moment, I have the power to uplift other people in my presence, not by trying to, but just by the nature of vibration. And
sure.
So I can't wait for other people to stop suffering before I do, because my happiness ultimately is a gift to them, and it lends a helping hand to help them out of their suffering. So it's kind of a paradox in a way. We have to be compassionate and recognize that the world is suffering, and at the same time, you have to be centered and aligned with your higher power so you can
sure.
be in service to those who need help.
Absolutely. Well, I think that for me, you know, I guess maybe to clarify somewhat the question is that I always see people and I always acknowledge the soul journey that they're on, and that I mean, numerology certainly can lend insight into the journey of their soul in this lifetime and what their soul sought. So you can see the underlying reasons for the experiences that perhaps might have brought them some adversity or some difficulties. I mean, certainly, you know, if we were just to take something as simple as a relationship, that you might have a very bad relationship, but that certainly that relationship is going to teach you what you don't want. It's going to give you choices and seek out something better the next time. So even that relationship served a purpose, and so I really feel that our life is sprinkled with perhaps some adversity that serves a purpose.
Right.
To perhaps gives us some guidance. So in that, you must celebrate. I think that even in adversity, you must celebrate the courage of your soul to take on that particular experience in order to you know, maybe raise your consciousness or gain some wisdom or to help you along your path. And so I don't get so upset with people's adversity so much as I do with just what goes on the planet and what, you know, in general, you know, sometimes, you know, whether it's prejudice or whether it's hatred or whether it's wars or killing or that sort of stuff, sometimes I just shudder because it's just so difficult to comprehend a world in which, you know, after all these years, we haven't learned that war doesn't really solve anything, you know, and so I think that's where I, you know, to clarify, that's where I find such incredible sadness. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're making a wonderful point because we can actually take this conversation to a new level now, because if we say that adversity is not necessarily evil in the sense that we're not victims of situations outside of ourselves, that every adversity brings with it a gift, whether it's a relationship challenge or a health challenge or a social issue, if you know how to sort of milk the problem for its gift, then the problem goes away and you end up with a gift. So I, you know, I do lots of coaching. In fact, I teach a life coach training starting in September. And I always invite people to reframe adversity as a call for awakening. And if you can work with it as a gift and an opportunity instead of some kind of a curse that's put upon you, then you have power over it instead of it having power over you.
Sure. Sure, and I absolutely agree. I think one of the most profound experiences that I ever had was running into a young man in an airport, and we weren't even supposed to be on the same plane, but we ended up on the same plane, and he was curious about numerology, and I had, and you know, he was studying addictions counseling, and he was telling me that he was going back to school, you know, for the next semester, and we got into his chart, and I just, as soon as I saw the numbers, there was pretty much, you know, there seemed to be in his chart almost like being predisposed towards addictions, almost as though that soul sought that experience in this lifetime. So I asked him, what was your addiction? And in a moment, there was such incredible pain in his eyes, and he said, I was addicted to heroin for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so, and I said to him, I said, do you realize, of course, you know, that what your chart's telling me is you come as a messenger and that you're here to inspire and uplift others, because that's what the vibration was talking about. And that if you were to ask me, your soul chose to come in and experience addiction in order to know what that is. And then from knowing that and then recovering from that, set about to inspire others through your own journey. And really, honestly, you know, I know it sounds like it's coming from me, but really that is what the numerology was speaking of in his chart. To me, I just said, you know, your soul was incredibly courageous to do that. And really, that's, you have to look and you have to see that we don't always understand what is going on in someone else's life. And it's a place of not judging, but understanding that the soul knows. And even in that experience, great triumphs come from it. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think it speaks to the spirit of our soul and the beauty of our souls.
Absolutely. I work with lots of people who are in 12-step programs, mostly AA and NA and some other AA programs. And I have found them to be among the most sensitive and powerful people that I know. Through working with their addiction and overcoming it, they have great faith, they have great connection to higher power, they have great compassion, they have great humility, and I think they're among the best teachers on the planet because they have walked through that dark period and come out on the other side. And in many ways, they're more spiritually advanced than people who have an easy life without adversity because they've built that muscle and then in a position to serve others. So, you know, it seems like a dark thing when you're going through it, but if you can get on top of it, it really becomes your ally.
Right. I want to bring up something that, I hope you don't mind, that I'm just going to quote something here for a minute. It's something I'd like for you to talk about. And this really comes from your book, Why Your Life Sucks, which I think is a rather brave title, and I love it. You said, when you give your power away, when you make someone or something outside of you more important than what is inside of you, that's how you give your power away. Sucking your life is an inside job. You do not need to import power, for you were born with it. You just need to plug the holes in your bucket through which it is leaking. The quest is about peeling away the lies and illusions you have been told and went on to tell yourself that have kept you from living smaller than you deserve. And when you do, you'll be amazed to realize how much you have settled for. Then you will have little patience for half-hearted living and reclaim your right to live from the choice rather than default. That is such an incredibly powerful, powerful paragraph to me.
That's good stuff. I forgot that I wrote that, but listening to it, I like it.
Well, you should like it.
Thank you for reading it,
Well, it was wonderful. And that, but it almost needs to be savored. It just can't be read once. You know, it's just incredible. And I think so often, you know, and another thing that you kind of pointed out is people, you know, and when you see this on TV, you see this almost everywhere, where we hold all these people up on pedestals. We always put all these people up on pedestals. And these are the great people in the world, the most popular, the most talented, the most gifted, the most whatever. And we seem to think that if we could just hang out with them or be near them, that we could be great too, but we don't understand that the greatness lies within us.
Right.
And people, one thing that you know, like you used, actually came out and said, people that name drop or flop photos of themselves with famous people really are not appreciating their inherent worth or who they are. They're just kind of saying, I'm important because this person talks to me or whatever the case might be. And, you know, there's just so much wisdom here, you know, such incredible wisdom that it, and for me, I thought I was the oddball. I always thought I was a little strange because I always felt so strongly about all of this, these things that I'm reading with you. And that's just incredible stuff, really wonderful. Do you want to talk a little bit about giving your power away?
Yeah, you know, it's probably one of the most basic themes in my teaching. And actually, I can tell a really good short story that'll help. Do we have time for that?
Sure, absolutely. Go for it.
Well, a friend of mine works as a massage therapist at a luxury hotel in Maui. And I got home one night and found a message on my voicemail from her saying, call me back. I want to tell you about my brush with greatness. So I called her back. What's up? She said, well, today I massaged Dustin Hoffman. So I said, well, that's cool. I said, you know, but the way you left that message saying, let me tell you about my brush with greatness, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, because what it sounds like is you're not great, and for a moment you had a brief encounter with greatness, and he's a great actor. I love him, and not to put him down, And for a moment, you got to import greatness by brushing up against it. And I said, from what I know about you is you're a great person, too. And I said, you're a great massage therapist. So he may be a great actor, but you're a great healer. And I said, how do you know? Maybe he went back to his room and told somebody, let me tell you about my brush with greatness today. So I said to her, you know, I just love you as a friend. And, you know, I'd like you to not have to brush up to greatness to get it. I'd like you to brush from greatness. In other words, take the greatness that's already in you and allow that to overflow into the world. And certainly it's fun when we kind of mingle our greatnesses. But never, never, never think that you become great by importing greatness. Recognize that you become great by recognizing that you already are great. And, you know, I think it's a very symbolic lesson for all of us.
Right. Right. And the one thing that you say is when you stand firmly and unapologetically in your own dignity, you attract powerful and worthy comrades. So when you think that you're great, you be great, you stand in your greatness, you know, obviously you will attract greatness. You know, it's really kind of interesting. I know you're going to find this is rather, really silly, but I can't remember what gift shop I was in, but I actually, there was this bracelet and it had, you know, a little saying on it that says greatness. And I actually am wearing it. I bought it, and I said, because it reminds me every day to be great.
Right.
And so when I read this in your book, I was kind of laughing. And, of course, by now I really need to get a better one because this one is kind of withering away with tarnish. But it has greatness across it, and that's like I'm to be great. I am great. I'm living in my greatness. And, you know, so it was really, you know, I found you incredibly inspirational. Isn't that wonderful? Because I was like, wow, that's really wonderful. I should send you a picture of my bracelet so you know I really resonated with that. So it's really awesome.
Well, maybe, you know, that was a good chance for you to remind yourself of the greatness that's already in you. And it sounds like you're doing wonderful work with your numerology and your radio show. So certainly, you know, you have God-given gifts that are being passed along. And if each of us could just tap into that God-given gift that we already own and have the guts to share it, wow, this world would rocket ahead in incredible ways.
Yes, it would. It would. Absolutely. And you know, and I don't know, I guess even with numerology, I mean, I can remember when I, you know, I discovered it as a child, and certainly I was of, you know, parochial school, not necessarily my mother taught at the parochial school, so quite frankly, you know, that wasn't the sort of books that my mother cherished her daughter reading. But, you know, when I finally got older and decided that perhaps I could help people with the knowledge that I had gathered throughout the years, and I kind of went, you know, and started, you know, I said, I kind of put it to prayer more or less and said, you know, if this is where you want me to go, I'll open the doors. And huge doors were open for me, so I went through those doors. And I can remember my mother saying, you're doing what? And I can remember, and then I had a couple of sisters that proceeded to tell me that I was going to burn in hell and a few other things, you know. But it was the way I was born. It was the way I've always been. I always was interested in destiny. I was always interested in the journey of the soul. I was interested why we were here. And those were the questions that I asked when I was a child. And because I was just fascinated with biographies from the time I could, you know, go to the library and check them out, I wanted to know, how do you go there? How do you reach that destination? And numerology gave me all the answers. And so it was a choice of you know, leading a less than satisfactory life, as you put in the earlier quote, you know, being less than you settle for something. But to go on to your greatness and to do what you love and what you have a passion for, maybe perhaps what you were born to do, regardless of what anyone thinks. And I have to say that since I took that step on a personal basis, that I have never been in such joy in my life, because the opportunity to help others and also to inspire others, and it has made me bloom and grow and brought me incredible joy. And, but the hard part is not worrying about what anybody else has to say about it. It's about following your own guidance.
Right, right. I think we all come to crossroads in our life where we have to choose between following public opinion or what our parents or our religion or our company wants us to do and listening to the inner voice. And my experience, Allison, is that when I find the courage to listen to my inner voice, mm-hmm. it always pays off. Well, occasionally I made a mistake here and there, but for the most part, I feel like I've been led by a wisdom that runs far deeper than my intellect. And
sure,
that's the
exactly.
wisdom of the heart, I call it. And, you know, the heart has a certain vibration when it speaks to you, and the mind has another vibration when it speaks to you. And the mind is good, it's helpful, but I think in our culture we're way overweighted toward listening to the mind only. So I try to encourage people to acquaint themselves with the voice of the spirit, the voice of the heart, that unique vibration when your inner being is speaking to you from the deepest possible level and saying, ah, you know, that's the voice that brings me solace. And even though it's scary on the outside, it's exciting on the inside, so I will move with that inner joy rather than that outer fear.
Sure. Exactly. I want to take a moment, and I just want to, you know, anyone that's tuned in a little bit late, we are talking to Alan Cohen, who is just, you know, he's 22 inspirational books, bestsellers, certainly very a prestigious career as a speaker, inspirational teacher. And I just want to point out that his website is alancohen.com, and I spelled it out for you, alancohen.com. So I invite all of our listeners to head on over there if you like and check out Alan's website. Certainly his books and his CDs and his work and his workshops are all there. I also want to point out that you can, you know, hook up with him on Facebook and Twitter. And by the way, Alan, I sent you a friend request and I fully expect for you to say yes. So check him out on Facebook and Twitter. Also, you on his website, there's newsletters you can sign up for and daily inspirational quotes, which I'm sure they're wonderful, and I'm going to sign up for those after I get off the show. Now, Alan, I think we heard a beep, which tells me that we have someone calling into the show, so I'm going to stop the conversation for a second, and I'm going to check in with our caller. Who's calling, please? Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. This is Allison. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is June from California.
This is who?
June.
Hi, June. How are you?
Good. How about you?
pretty good. Do you have a question or comment for Alan?
If he's doing some psychic reading?
No, he's an inspiration, although I'm pretty sure he probably is psychic. But basically, Alan has written some really wonderful books, I think more or less, to have you kind of get you in touch with your own soul guidance. If you've got perhaps something going on in your life, you know, that you would like some advice about, I think he's the man to ask, and I'm sure he could give you some wonderful insights and wisdom. Is there something going on in your life you'd like to present to him and have him give you some advice?
So he's the only one being...
You might want to call back another time when you have a real-life psychic on, June. I can probably help you, but it sounds like you're looking for psychic reading, which is not exactly my department.
It's not your department. Okay, June, but thanks for calling. All right.
Thank you.
I do apologize, and that also is very possible, Alan. As you know, our guest this evening was supposed to be Carol Tolan, who is a psychic reader.
Oh, I see.
And so Carol, God bless her, her mother has to have open heart surgery, and so she canceled the show and flew down to Florida. So we do send out a lot of prayers and love to Carol and to her mom. God bless you, Carol. And that might be why our caller was a little bit confused that we were doing psychic readings, because certainly Carol rocks psychic readings on the radio. I'm not sure if we do have another caller. Do we have another caller on the line? Hello?
Hello, Allison. This is Linda calling from Florida.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Fine, Allison. I was looking forward to this show. I knew Alan was going to be on tonight, and I'm familiar with his work. And, of course, you know I'm familiar with your work, Allison. I think you're just beyond awesome. And I wanted to ask a question, Allison, because you understand what's going on in my life. And maybe the both of you can give me some direction, because I feel that I have lived my life on the right path. Even though we all go through trials and tribulations, in my heart I always felt I was doing everything with the right intent, but I was also learning a lot on my journey in leaps and bounds. And then when everything was taken from me, and I'm not saying lost in the market, you know what happened, Allison, it was actually stolen from me, I don't have my balance. I'm questioning everything, and I don't want to be like this, and I don't want to walk around as a victim either. I want to walk around with integrity. I just can't get it, and my fear is stopping me from my subconscious mind. I have so much fear that I can't go within myself. If I do have a chance when I'm praying and meditating, it's so short-lived because the fear consumes me because I'm living it. I'm living the devastation of everything taken from me.
Okay. All right.
And it's much more than his finances.
Sure. Okay, Alan, I can honestly tell you that I having recently done a reading with Linda, that she's experienced a major upheaval in her life, betrayal. Certainly, loss of a great deal of money through that betrayal. Also worry, about, what she was doing with her life, which was taking care of someone and having that person kind of walk out. You know, so her life's in major upheaval. So what would be your take on that, and what kind of advice would you give her?
I would say congratulations. You're on the threshold of fabulous opportunity. And not to belittle, you know, what you've gone through, because I know it's been quite difficult. But someone said that sometimes the best time in your life is when everything is taken from you, because then you get to start over and go to a higher level. And so, and I think that you're really ready to do it, because you've said quite sincerely, I don't want to be a victim. So you're actually reaching for that higher place that recognizes that you're not a victim. And I think you're going to move beyond that real quickly and easily. Here I am giving a psychic reading, right? But anyway.
Because I know your work, Alan. I would never insult you for a psychic reading.
No, I was just kidding about that. But what I do want to tell you is that you really do have something good here. Because if you think that your prosperity depends on another person, or you believe that another person could in any way take your good from you, then it's a really powerful chance to practice taking your power back and recognizing that you are the source of your prosperity and you are the source of your good, no matter what anybody walks away with. And as you tap into your connection with higher power, you recognize that you have the power to recreate those finances or recreate a relationship or move to a new level of integrity in a relationship. And as you do that, you will look back and say, that person who seemed to be betraying me, and maybe that person did betray you on a human drama level, but that person who seemed to betray me was actually my best friend because he or she pushed me to go within and connect my, with my own power and take it back from them. Does that ring any bells for you, dear?
Most definitely. And listening to that, my fear is coming. I made the money. It wasn't given to me, but I'm very generous, and it was my brother that betrayed me. He's physically challenged. So it wasn't, but I had everything as joint tenancy in case something happened to me. But I'm feeling that because I'm sick now and I'm not working, the fear is consuming me that I don't have age on my side and I don't have my health. So can you give me direction on how to think like that and overcome and say, well, you still, how do I get that power back when I'm much older now and I don't have the health that I had when I made that money?
Right, well, this is really good. I'm glad we're talking about this because usually when fear comes the greatest or confusion comes the greatest, it means you're close to the biggest breakthrough. Confusion is the last stop on the train to clarity. And another thing we say in our programs is that every time I'm ready to step forward and embrace a big new yes, all of my old no's and all apostrophe S come back to greet me. So you're actually doing better than you would be if you're just kind of coasting along in a sort of state of mediocrity. You're actually poised for a breakthrough. And part of that breakthrough has to do with you confronting certain illusions that are keeping you feeling small. And one is the illusion of age. And this applies to a lot of us, that we think we're getting too old for this and too old for that. But if you start to look at role models of people who do things at, quote, older ages that are more outrageous and more creative and more fun and more alive than people younger ages, you will see that no matter what, I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100, you really do have power to do things that you would choose. So do you have moments, Linda, when you recognize that age may not be a limit and you could actually do what you want to do? Do you have insights of clarity?
Yes, I do. And I guess it's our society to go, oh, if you're overweight and you have wrinkles. And I actually don't try not to watch TV or anything. They're always talking about, oh, you need plastic surgery because you need to look youthful. And I feel I have a very young spirit. I don't look my age, but I listen to all that garbage on the news and stuff, and they're always talking about, you know, you have to fit into this certain role to be accepted. I just don't want to dance their tune.
Well, it sounds like you're recognizing that is a tune that's been imposed upon you from outside, and you actually have a choice as to whether or not you will accept it. So the first thing I would suggest is quit watching the news, because the news is basically the worst of fears and human limits on the planet, culled to scare you, you see. So I would take the time that you're taking each day to watch the news and read an inspirational book or listen to an inspirational CD or listen to an inspirational radio program. And you really do have the power to feed your mind ideas and feed your heart feelings that will lift you. And what's happening now is that the ball is coming back into your court. Whatever age you are now stepping into responsibility for your own power, for your own life. And I believe that if you and I had a conversation in a year or two or five, you would look back on this and say, this was one of the most empowering points in my life.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what? Allison said that. Allison's on the same page as you. I just love Allison. She told me that next year from now you'll probably be laughing at yourself. Remember that, Allison?
Because I told you this is your freedom.
You're telling me, Alan. Basically, yeah, no. And, you know, what's hurting me is because I believe in God very strongly, and through meditation and prayer, and I'm like going into that victim mode saying, God, how can you do this to me? I've been a good person. I've done right, even though it's not always been easy to do the right thing, but I've always tried to do right. And so I had to catch myself, and today was a real bad day. I was even questioning God. Was my thoughts and beliefs, were they really right? Was I the one that was really, and I don't like getting in this spot, and I was so glad Allison had you on tonight, and I'm not even home. I'm on my cell phone because I couldn't even listen on the computer, but I did not want to miss this show because I knew. And I love your analogy. It's like the last stop at the train station. And I'm going to keep on thinking that I'm chugging along more than I think I am.
Yeah.
I love that analogy, and I'm going to hold on. Allison, thank you so much. Can I just
say
quickly, how do I hold on to my faith? I keep on praying for my faith, but it's slipping.
Faith is a muscle. Faith isn't something that just drops in your lap and you have it forever. Even people of great faith have moments of testing and fear and dark nights of the soul. So what you do is, I'll kind of bottom line this for you. This is not really about your brother or your age or about money. It's about you choosing between fear and love. And, you know, you say you believe in God, and I know you do. So this is a choice for you to decide if God is real or fear is real. And you go into fear, and it hurts, and you go into God, and it feels better. So you're kind of like sweating the opposites. That's what they call this. And through that sweat in the opposites, you get to build muscles of truth. And those muscles of truth will take you beyond the opposites. And I also believe that if we had this conversation in a year, you'd look back and say, wow, what the heck was I worried about anyway? I've turned out just fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Ellen. Right. I'm sorry, Ellen, if I took so much time. I apologize. Thank you
we
very
love you,
much.
Linda.
I appreciate it. All right, bye
Hang
now.
In there,
Thank
sweetie.
You.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
And I'm going to take one of your quotes here where you said, all of life is interpretation. It's not the events that occur that make or break you, but you're an interpretation of them, and it's how you look at things. And I know that what I said, you know, just to validate what you were saying, let's talk about saying the right words, is one of the things that I said to Linda was that sometimes things set you free. When you're locked in a certain situation that's preventing you from the experiences in life, from growth, from freedom even, that all of these, when your life gets torn down sometimes, it just literally sets you free to go about, you know, a different way. And then I just told her that eventually you're going to be looking back on this and laughing at it because you're going to be free to do what you want to do as opposed to being locked into this situation that you were locked in. So that
was
really wonderful.
The phrase, now that my house has burnt down, I have a much better view of the sky.
Exactly. I like that. Exactly. Now, I'm not 100% certain if I heard another beep or not, Alan. I may not have, but I did hear one. You did?
Yes.
So do we have another caller on the line?
Hi, Allison. It's Kim from Maryland. How are you?
Very good, Kim. And before you talk to Alan, what I'm just going to say here is that, Alan, we only have 5 minutes left on the show, which boggles my mind because it just seems like we started 2 minutes ago.
Right.
But in that event, whatever we're going to talk about with Kim, I want you to just make it short and sweet because
I will.
Okay,
hi, Alan.
Super.
How are you?
Hi, Kim. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you. I just need to ask you a question, Alan. Do you feel I'm on the right path in my life?
Yes. And I don't mean that as a psychic reading, but there's no place you could be but on your right path. So sometimes even when you make mistakes or take detours or hit adversity, in the big picture, it's actually on the right path. What do you think, Kim? Do you think you're on your right path?
I do, but at times I kind of doubt myself. I don't know. I think my daughter, I have a daughter that passed away October of 2003. She was 14 from seizures, and I've always been able to see spirits since I was 5 years old. But since my daughter passed away, I've been learning how to tune, you know, my gift in even better. But again, like I'm saying, I'm still learning how to tune it in. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, I think that this is a soul contract with you and your daughter, and on some level she knew she was to pass, and of course we regret it, but on another level, you're actually refining your ability to communicate at a higher level of vibration, and she's just as alive, sometimes even more so, available to you, and as you develop your communication with her in spirit, your relationship will go even deeper, and she'll become even more alive to you. So it's in the long run, it's really helping you and her.
Right. I mean, she's not the only one. Like I said, I've been seeing spirit since I was 5 at a young age. And, I mean, I see not only my daughter, but lots of people that have passed, whether it's friends, and spirits come to me. I don't even know who they are. So just still learning how to tune it in.
Great discipline.
I always say to people, it's like they holding on so tightly to the steering wheel. But if you really take a look at it, it's not connected to anything, that we're all an apprenticeship for our destiny. And every experience that happens to us in life just takes us closer and closer to the reason why we're here. And things, even things to wake you up to what your destiny truly is. So, you know, God bless you for the loss of your daughter. We love you, Kim, so just take care, all right?
I love you, too. I love your show. So I look forward to it every Monday for sure. You know, my friend Glenda, you know her real well, Allison.
Sure. Yeah.
From Maryland as well. I mean, she's the one that...
We know Glenda's listening.
You know, had told me about your show. Yes, I love Glenda. Well, thank you, Allison and Alan. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Well, Alan, you know, it just slays me how quickly time goes. I did want to say one thing here. You know, I was reading an article that you had posted on your website. And, you know, it's kind of talking about faith, you know, and it said that, you know, God is love, and yet sometimes churches teach fear, and that it didn't make sense to you. And I think that that's something that, you know, oftentimes we have this fear of doing the right thing, or fear of following the rules, or fear of all these different things, teaching fear to us when God is truly love.
Right.
And you live your life from a place of love. You know, and then learn not to fear things, and it just makes it incredibly more easier. So there's so many inspirational things. I mean, I truly, you know, first and foremost, it's just a pleasure to speak with you, an honor, actually. And I really do recommend to everyone that's listening to go to Alan's website, because one or more, or any one of these books, I'm sure would be inspirational and give you a great deal of guidance and self-empowerment, really. So I want to redirect everyone to the website again, which is alancohen.com, alancohen.com. Also, again, he's got a newsletter that is daily inspirational clips that you can sign up for, and you can connect with him on Facebook and Twitter. And you have some upcoming events besides the Susan Duvall seminar in Philly, which is, when was that, Alan? That's June 2nd
in Philadelphia at Susan Duvall Seminars, right?
Right. What else you got coming up, Alan?
I'll be at I Can Do It in Toronto, sponsored by Hay House, weekend before, and the weekend after I will be in Chicago at Celebrate Your Life, and I'm starting my 6-month life coach training in September, and people can find out about all those events right on the front page of my website.
Wonderful. And you have your own radio show on Hay House as well.
Yes.
So make sure you drop in on hayhouse.com and check out the radio show. I'm sure you could just literally listen to the many, many archives and also Alan's shows as he does them. So I just recommend and send everybody there. Alan, thank you so much for joining me this evening. It was just a complete pleasure.
Same here. Maybe you'll be a guest on my show sometime, eh?
That would be lovely. I would enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
And
be well.
You too. Have a happy life. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. I think next week, let me see what's up with the show. I think I'm going to be talking about numerology and doing some readings next week. Certainly we've got some great guests coming up in June. We've got Lisa Williams and Mark Anthony and a lot of really great guests coming up. So stay tuned. Sign up for the newsletter so you know who's going to be on the show. And I'll be back next week. And in the meantime, I wish you all abundant blessings. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.